Well, a very good morning, friends, and welcome to another Technical Thursday with me, Rocky Stevenson, pastor of Benoni Bible Church. And we've been looking at Bible overview on Technical Thursday, and we're at the book of Jeremiah. And this is the second session that we find ourselves in the book of Jeremiah, really looking at the righteous branch and the new covenant. We touched on some of the new covenant themes yesterday as well on Christmas Eve. And today, here we are at Christmas. And I do want to wish you from my own family, from Benoni Bible Church, a Christmas that is filled with delight in the Lord Jesus Christ. May you continue to look to Him. And so what a joy. We covered the man last week, the historical context, as well as the structure of the book of Jeremiah. And today, which providentially falls on Christmas Day, we look at the major themes of Jeremiah with a careful focus on how these themes legitimately point forward to the coming of the Christ. And we will not stretch Jeremiah's words into something that they were never meant to in the first place. Instead, we will let the prophet speak in his own context and then show how the New Testament reveals the true and the ultimate fulfillment of the promises that Jeremiah delivered to a broken nation. Firstly, we'll look at Jeremiah's core themes. Jeremiah's ministry spanned over 40 years, years of national decline, hypocrisy, idolatry, political panic, and finally, the burning of Jerusalem. In that setting, there's four major theological themes that emerge. First theme is Judah's covenant unfaithfulness. Yesterday, we looked at the faithful character of God, and that just providentially landed up that way. Of course, every day I deal with a different topic, and I have master documents for each day of the week for Let's Talk with the different themes. And it just so happened that we looked at the covenant-keeping elements of God yesterday, and here we look at this theme. The first major theme of the book of Jeremiah is Judah's covenant unfaithfulness. Jeremiah repeatedly confronts the people with their spiritual betrayal. They have forgotten Yahweh, they've broken His covenant, and they've turned to idols. My people have committed two evils, God says in Jeremiah 2 verse 13. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, to hew for themselves cisterns, broken cisterns, that can hold no water. What an image. He's the fountain of living waters, but they've now not trusted in Him, and they've trusted rather in the works of their hands. And Judah's problem was not external, it was in the very heart. The second major theme is the righteousness of Yahweh's judgment. Jeremiah does not shy away from announcing judgment. And the Babylonian invasion is not some geopolitical misfortune. It is God's righteous discipline. As I mentioned last week on Technical Thursday, Jeremiah 25 verse 9, I will send to Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, my servant. This judgment is not cruel. It is covenant justice. It is the outworking of Deuteronomy chapter 28. And the third theme that we find is the failure of human leadership. Kings, priests, prophets, all have failed. Woe to the shepherds who are destroying and scattering the sheep of my pasture, Jeremiah 23 verse 1 says. And as you think about that shepherding element, you can't help but think about something like Psalm 23. Jeremiah 23 talks about these bad shepherds, but Psalm 23 talks about the good shepherd. And John chapter 10, of course, shows us that our Lord Jesus is the good shepherd who lays down his life for his sheep. But Jeremiah exposes corrupt leadership. Kings trust alliances instead of Yahweh. Priests profane the temple, and prophets proclaim peace, peace, when there is no peace. We see that in the book of Jeremiah. The fourth major theme is the promise of restoration and a new covenant. And here the tone shifts from judgment to hope. God promises restoration for Israel and for Judah, but more than restoration, transformation. The new covenant is Jeremiah's bright center of the book, as I mentioned last week. The promise that what Israel needed most is a new heart, and only God could give them the new heart. The second thing I want you to think about is the new covenant today, Jeremiah's greatest promise. I want us to slow down in our own minds regarding this, because this is where Jeremiah intersects legitimately with the meaning behind Christmas. In the sense, and I'm not talking about Christmas the 25th of December, I'm talking about the message of Christmas from a Christian perspective, the fact that our Lord Jesus came into this world. Jeremiah 31 verse 31 to 34, "Behold, days are coming, declares Yahweh, when I will cut a new covenant. I will put my law within them, and on their heart I will write it, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people, for I will forgive their iniquity, and their sin I will remember no more." What a wonderful section in God's Word. And there's a few observations regarding this. The covenant is new in quality. It's not merely in time, it's new in its quality. Secondly, it deals with the heart, not just with behavior. Thirdly, it includes full and final forgiveness, something that the Mosaic covenant never ever offered. Fourthly, it guarantees a restored relationship with God. This is not a man-centered reform, it is a God-orientated regeneration. The New Testament explicitly identifies the promise as fulfilled in our Lord Jesus Christ, not in his birth alone, but in his entire saving work. Jesus identifies his blood as the blood of the covenant in Matthew 26, verse 28. In Hebrews chapter 8 all the way through to Hebrews chapter 10, it quotes Jeremiah extensively in those two chapters in the book of Hebrews, arguing, actually three chapters, chapter 8 to 10 of Hebrews. It argues that Jesus is the mediator of a new covenant. So Jeremiah's words do not predict Bethlehem directly, but they do predict the necessity of the one born in Bethlehem, the only one able to bring the covenant to pass. The third aspect I want you to think about this morning with me is the righteous branch, and that is Jeremiah's messianic hope. Jeremiah also anticipates a future king, the true son of David, who will do what Judah's kings failed to do. You see, in that section in chapter 23, where we see all the failure of those shepherds, we see also the one that is coming that will be the true shepherd. Jeremiah 23, verse 5 to 6 talks about it like this: "Behold, days are coming, declares Yahweh, when I will raise up for David a righteous branch, and he will reign as king and prosper, and do justice and righteousness in the land. And this is his name by which he will be called, Yahweh our righteousness." Isn't that a wonderful name for our Lord Jesus Christ? Yahweh our righteousness. As you think about our Lord Jesus Christ on this Christmas day, this prophecy rests firmly in the Davidic covenant, which we had been promised about in 2 Samuel chapter 7. And Jeremiah does not change the covenant. He confirms that covenant. You see how God is such a covenant-keeping God, like we looked at yesterday on Wisdom Wednesday? A coming king that is not corrupt, not faithless, not politically dependent, but righteous and saving. And the New Testament does not force Jeremiah's prophecy into the Christmas narrative. Rather, it naturally fits this, because Jesus is born of the house of David, Luke chapter 2, verse 4. The angel tells Mary that her son will receive the throne of his father David in Luke 1, verse 32. And I'm sure that you and your family are thinking much through some of those narratives in the New Testament as you think about that story of Jesus being born. And Matthew's genealogy begins with the book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, Matthew 1, verse 1. So Jeremiah's righteous branch finds its fulfillment in the one who laid in the manger, the king who came not to overthrow Babylon or Rome or any earthly tyranny first, but to overthrow the tyranny of sin. The fourth element that I want you to think about today and talk about is Jeremiah's relevance for when we think about Christmas, even today. And this is how this is so providentially fitting. Because as we think about our Lord Jesus coming into this world and the covenant-keeping God that fulfills all of his promises in our Lord Jesus Christ, we think about these great themes of Jeremiah and how they speak into the very reality of Christmas which we are enjoying today. It has several rich and even biblical legitimate ways that we can think through this. Because when we think about the coming of our Lord, it reminds us why the new covenant was needed. Judah's sin, recorded so painfully in the book of Jeremiah, reflected the universal condition of all of mankind. The heart is more deceitful than all else and is desperately sick, Jeremiah 17 verse 9 says. This is true for every single generation, not just the generation of Jeremiah's day. The incarnation is God's answer to that universal human condition. And when I talk about incarnation, I mean Jesus entered into this world born of the Virgin Mary. He came and he dwelt amongst us, as John says it in John chapter 1, verse 14. He tabernacled amongst us. The Word became flesh and dwelt amongst us. Secondly, when we think about the birth of our Lord Jesus, and as we think about that even this Christmas, it brings the righteous branch into the world. The birth of Jesus is the arrival of the promised King, whose righteousness is not borrowed, but is intrinsic. He is the only one who can rightly be called Yahweh, our righteousness. Thirdly, as we think about the birth of our Lord Jesus, it is the beginning of the new covenant story. Jeremiah speaks of a covenant involving a new heart, internal transformation, intimate knowledge of God, and full forgiveness. And these blessings are secured through Christ's life, death, and resurrection and ascension on high. But they are introduced. There's an introduction that begins with his incarnation, the fact that he is born unto man. Christmas is really chapter one in the story of the new covenant arrival. So as we think about the birth of our Lord Jesus as well, it assures us that judgment is not God's final word. Jeremiah stood before judgment and before hope. So he stood between these two things, between judgment and hope. Christmas also shows that hope has entered the world, embodied, humbled, and redeeming. And here's a practical word for today. Jeremiah teaches us realism about sin, honesty about judgment, and confidence in God's restoring mercy. The birth of our Lord Jesus reveals that God has acted to bring that restoration through his Son. So, as you listen to this morning, if your heart feels broken or weighed down, the new covenant offers cleansing and renewal. This is the gospel of the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Won't you turn to him today? If you feel surrounded by a collapsing culture, and maybe your home life is collapsing, maybe your church life is collapsing, maybe much in your life is collapsing, know that Jeremiah ministered faithfully in darker days than these. You can turn to the Lord Jesus Christ today. If you feel the sting of your own failure today, hear Jeremiah 31 verse 34, God forgives fully. If you need hope, look to the righteous branch who reigns forever, our Lord Jesus Christ. This is, when we think about a day like today and we are able to take a day like this off and we're with family or with friends or maybe we're alone even. Let us not have some kind of a sentimental escape. It speaks to the arrival of the King that Jeremiah longed for. Set your mind upon the things above. Use a day like this to glorify the Lord. So, today, on this Christmas Day edition of Technical Thursday, we've seen how Jeremiah's message, delivered in tears, conflict, and faithfulness, ultimately points us to the Messiah whose birth we celebrate today. Next time, we resume our standard Technical Thursday progression and move forward towards the next book in the prophets. But today, rejoice. The righteous branch has come. The mediator of the new covenant has entered the world. And the God who promised restoration through Jeremiah has fulfilled his word faithfully, fully, and gloriously in our Lord Jesus Christ. This has been Let's Talk, and may the Lord bless you as you think through this. And Merry Christmas to you and your family, and may the Lord bless you richly. Amen.